Calvary Temple in Winnipeg, we bring you the regular Sunday night broadcast conducted by Pastor Watson Ogden. Hour. Calvary Temple, Winnipeg's Evangelistic Center, is on the air. With Alec Hart leading and Bessie Oak at the temple organ, the radio group sings, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." Friends, you are listening to the Gospel Fireside Hour from Calvary Temple in Winnipeg. We continue with Gerald Patch singing, "Jesus, Take My Hand."
Jesus, take my hand and let me trust Thee. No, my prayer has reached Thy throne above. Though I have no pledge that Thou hast heard, take my hand, never let it go. Dimly lighted paths are mine, but to trust is sweeter than to know. Jesus, take my hand in thine. Take my hand, I cannot see tomorrow, but I know its light is soon to dawn, and I shall forget these cares I borrow. Take my hand and lead me on. Jesus, take my hand, never let it go. Dimly lighted paths are mine, but to trust is sweeter than to know. My hand in thine.
We next hear the ladies' trio singing a song from the words of Jesus, "Take up thy cross and follow me." Radio friends, we trust that if you are not following the Savior, the song will inspire you to start following him even tonight.
I walked one day along a country road, and there a stranger journeyed to.
One of the favorite choruses in Calvary Temple is "What the World Needs is Jesus." My, I wish you could be here at a great Sunday evening service, hear 1,600 people sing this, and at the same time, the band playing it, and played on the pipe organ and the grand piano, and three choirs assisting in singing this chorus. We hear the radio group singing it now. Radio group are still standing about the microphone. We'll ask them to sing an old, old hymn that we've all known since Sunday school days. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Just a few moments tonight, we're speaking on the subject, how to have a revival in every church. In the 85th Psalm, in verse 6, we read, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" When we see the great crowds flocking to Calvary Temple, as they do every Sunday, in the building which seats 1,600 people packed to the roof, as it was tonight, with an overflow crowd in the vestibule and some standing, and then when we see many conversions each week and hundreds of young people attending, friends, we have a desire to see a great revival like this break out in every church. Why is Calvary Temple full of young people? Why is there a constant revival in Calvary Temple? Well, a church that is wide awake and on fire for God seems to be the church that gets the people. People want the old gospel. You know, the big crowd doesn't follow the ice wagon, but it follows the fire department. What was it that caused Moses to turn aside to see a certain bush out in the desert? It was because that bush was on fire. No doubt there were hundreds of other bushes, but Moses passed them by, and would no doubt have passed this one by too, had it not been on fire. Do you want your church to have an irresistible drawing power, that people won't be able to pass it by, but will have to come in and worship? Well, get your church on fire, God. Fire draws a crowd. This was certainly so on the day of Pentecost. The 120 prayed the fire of God out of heaven. And then we read, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Do you want a revival in your church? Here are a few things we'd like to suggest. And the first one, every member of the church should know that they have experienced the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And friends, the new birth isn't just joining a church, signing a card, shaking hands with a preacher, turning over a new leaf, or reforming. But the new birth is an experience received through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son and as the one who died for you on Calvary's cross. It means confessing your sins to Christ and turning right about face on the old past life. God's word says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you want a revival in your church, preach Christ and preach the whole Bible. The Savior has said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." One of the greatest revivals recorded in the New Testament was the great revival at Samaria. Philip was the evangelist, and he preached Christ. Listen to this verse. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. And there was great joy in that city." The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word." And friends, we need to preach the word. We need to preach old-fashioned salvation, repentance, the new birth, restitution, the virgin birth of Christ, the atonement, the resurrection, and the ascension. Preach the word. And if we do that, the Bible will fight its own battles. Listen to this verse. "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." If a soldier is going to use a sword, he needs it all, not half of it. And as Christian soldiers, we need the entire Bible if we are to defeat the enemy. Friends, we should believe the Bible from lid to lid. And we should believe the lid too, for on the lid it says, "Holy Bible." And we believe it is the Holy Bible, God's Word. We need a whole Bible, not a Bible full of holes. Bible may seem to you to be an old, old book, but thank God it's still alive, and thank God it doesn't need any crutches. It's not feeble, and its pages are still shining brighter than gold. No preacher, no matter how clever he is, and no matter how fine an orator he may be, can ever convict a sinner of his sins. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to bring conviction. So, preach the Word. And friends, if you want a revival in your church, get the people praying earnestly, and get them earnestly seeking God. In 1 Chronicles 7:14, we read, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." In these busy days, we often hear the expression, "Let us have a word of prayer." And that's about all it amounts to sometimes. It's just a word. On the day of Pentecost, you may remember, there was a great revival, and 3,000 people were converted in one day. But don't forget, it was after 10 days of prayer. In the Bible, we have no record that Christ ever taught his disciples to preach, but he did teach them to pray. It isn't great preaching that's needed now, nearly as much as great praying. And every believer can pray, "Lord, send a revival, and let it begin in me." Someone has said, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." And another has said, "The Christian on his knees can see farther than the sinner can when on his tiptoes." And I believe that's true. These are days when we hear about many different ologies: psychology, phrenology, theology, and others. But if you want a real old-fashioned revival in your church, you'll have to have a lot of neology. Other armies may go forward on their feet, but God's army goes forward on its knees. It is said that Jonathan Edwards spent an entire night in prayer. The next day he preached, and a revival broke out that swept all over England. It is said that John Wesley used to rise at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. And you know some of the results of his prayers. John Knox was used to stir all Scotland through prayer. He prayed, "Give me Scotland or I die." The Bible says, "As soon as Zion prevailed, she brought forth her children." Friends, at the birth of a child, there is pain, agony, and lingering. Life is dependent on the labor of the mother. But her travail is necessary not only for the life of the child, but for her own life too. And just so the church must travail, wait before God in prayer, not only for souls to be born again, but it means the life of the church, her very existence. Without these spiritual children being born, the very existence of the church is threatened. Did Christ or sinners weep? And shall our cheeks be dry? Let floods of penitential grief burst forth from every eye. Listen, Christian friend. Never plead with men for God until you have first pleaded with God for men. The church must become alarmed over the condition of the lost before the lost will become alarmed over their own condition. Before sinners weep in the public services, Christians must weep in the place of secret prayer. Before tears of repentance are seen dropping from the eyes of sinners, there must be tears of intercession dropping from the eyes of Christians. The last thought I want to leave with you on how to have a revival is for everybody to work. Sing in the choir. Be an usher. Teach a Sunday school class. Be a prayer warrior. Do personal work. Keep busy for the Lord all the time. The Master said, "Ye are my witnesses," and he is counting on you to witness for him. He has also told us to let our lights shine before men. We cannot all be preachers in the pulpit, but we can all do personal work and win the individuals. Andrew, of whom we read in the Bible, may not have been a great preacher, but he won Peter, and Peter preached one day and won 3,000 souls. A man named Kimball won Dwight L. Moody for the Lord, and it is said that Moody's ministry cheated the population of hell out of 1 million souls. Think of it. When Christ fed the 5,000, his disciples were between him and the multitude. He gave the food to the disciples, and they gave it to the people. Today, the Christians are the Lord's disciples between him and the multitude. As he gives to us the message of the bread of life, he is counting on us, passing it on to others. May the Lord help every one of us to work, for the night is coming. Remember, friends, we will have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but we have only the few short hours before sunset to win them. Let us all bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt send an old-fashioned revival to every church, the big churches in the cities and the small ones in the country. Restore the Amen Corner, the testimony service, the altar call, and the tears of repentance, and grant that every listener tonight may become a faithful soul winner, a fisher of men, and a soldier of the cross. In the Savior's name, amen. We are grateful to the Lord and our Christian friends for making it possible to broadcast the gospel over 4 radio stations, reaching a big part of Canada and the neighboring states. In this way, tens of thousands can hear the gospel every Sunday night. I believe it is the greatest way in the world of spreading the gospel to the multitude. But it takes money to carry on this work, and we cannot carry on without the help of our Christian friends. To everyone sending in a radio offering this week, we will send a box of 14 lovely scripture text Christmas cards with envelopes. These are the kind of Christmas cards Christians should send their friends. They are beautiful, and each one has a Christmas greeting and a Bible verse. These gifts cost us a considerable amount, and we will appreciate it if you will keep this in mind. You know what it will cost you to purchase a box of beautiful Christmas cards. If you can send that amount or more, your money will serve a double purpose. You will get the cards which you need and will help us spread the gospel. Address your letter to Pastor Watson Argue, Calvary Temple, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Be sure and tell us what station you hear the broadcast over. Winnipeg, Yorkton, Regina, or Kelowna, B.C. God bless you. My prayer for you tonight is that you may face this week with courage and strength. And though you travel far, so far, God grant your path may turn this way again next Sunday night. And now, whoever you are, and wherever you are, in a palace or a cottage, on the prairie or by the street, may God bless and keep you, and you, and you. Good night.
Calvary Temple in Winnipeg, we have brought you the Gospel Fireside Hour, the regular Sunday evening broadcast conducted by Pastor Watson Argue.